around alcohol and what it means to be recovered. And so if you can join us on Sunday night, it'll be good. The banquet's coming up October 14th. Brian's here. A few of us just come and talk to me in the meeting after the meeting. We'll have to set up a business meeting so we can decide how much to give to the banquet. And we need to help buy some books because we're out of books here. We give books away. Tonight, it's the Wednesday night for the people listening on the podcast. And we are on the, we started the big book for the 10th time. And I did the wrong talk last week because I'm demented. And I had the week off with my grandkids, and it was, and I thought we were on the preamble, and we were on second edition. So the talk last week was really good, I understand, and I'm going to put it out tomorrow on the site on review of 10, 11, and the first step. We had the Vallejo people here last week, so it's probably better than doing the forward. Tonight, we're doing the forward to the second edition, and then we're going to start on Doctor's Opinion next week and go through the book. We are in XVII, and I'm just going to cover these last few pages, and then I want to go over the 1940 AA preamble, because 1940 was when AA really started the meetings, and this preamble shows, I think, tremendous insight into what the members of AA thought about their disease and their recovery. And so this is really good stuff. I got it on silkworth.net. We're on XVII. We've had the second group. Bill and Bob have met. It's 1937. They're sitting in Bob Smith's kitchen in Akron, Ohio. And you can go, when you go to Dr. Bob's house, you can see the kitchen's just the way it was, the table where they sat when they decided to write this book. And if any of you get to Akron, you really must go to Dr. Bob's house. It's really special. I didn't know how special it was for me because I went in August, the first weekend in August. My daughter lives in Cleveland, and my wife and her agreed to let me go see Dr. Bob's house. Let's put it that way. And we went to Dr. Bob's house, and there's 12 steps to go up, and it's on the corner. And they bought the house next to it. They have all this AA memorabilia. And you go upstairs, and it's a simple kitchen, dining room, living area with a fireplace, and they've got his Bible up on the top where he sat. And then you can go upstairs, and they have the room where they did the third step. It's pretty emotional for me because I went in there, and they have Dr. Bob's prayer, and you can go in there and do the third step prayer. I mean, you can go through the whole house. It was really special because I didn't realize that I was getting prepared for my son to die the next a week later. He died a week later. And I remember I was said the third step prayer, and then I did buy a mug. It says, "I drank at Dr. Bob's." I liked it. And they have all sorts of memorabilia that you can buy. In the house next door, they have some of the stuff that we're going to talk about in here. It's very special. When you think from that room where we are today. So it says, "It's now time the struggling groups thought to place their message and unique experience before the world." That's what this book is. It is their message and unique experience. You don't have to like it. You don't have to read it. But it's their message and their experience on something that they were able to do that no one else had done before, right? They were able to not drink. And this determination bore fruit in the spring, XVII. I don't know why they have to have Roman numerals, especially for someone like me, it's confusing. I will tell another aside. At this meeting about, I don't know, I'm not going to finish what we're doing tonight, I'm talking too much, but about 8 years ago, we bought all those books where you can put the margins. You can write those books you can order, and they have, 164 pages, and we ordered 40 of them, and guess what? They start with page one, so all the pages are different. So if you use the study book, and it's really good with the paragraphs, you can't, if you're on page 33 there, it's page 44 or the other one. So anyway, I'm getting off track. Forgive me. The membership.
Yeah, Dan reached about 100.
All right, stop, Jimmy. 100 men and women. The fledgling society, which had been nameless, now began to be called AA because it took the title from the book. I mean, I think there are a lot of people who come to AA who think this is called the big book, that this is the title of it. But the title of this book is Alcoholics Anonymous. And the flying blind period ended in AA and entered a new phase of its pioneering time. They talk about Dr. Harry Fosdick. The noted clergyman reviewed it with approval. He was very well respected. He wrote an article about it. Then the fall of 1939, they had Liberty Magazine, which was really big in its day. And I'm old, so I remember Life Magazine. And every Saturday, Life Magazine would come out, and it was the big thing. And Liberty was sort of the grandfather of Life. And it's called Alcoholics and God, and it was very favorable. And then they had 800 inquiries, and they answered each one, and they sent out pamphlets, a book. And then they got the names, and when the people traveled, they went out to find these new people. And a new group started up, and it was found to the astonishment of everyone that AA's message could be transmitted in the mail, as well as by word of mouth. And now we have, you know, internet and podcasts, and we have our website, experiencethebigbook.org. So in 1939, they had 800 alcoholics. Think of that. And their meetings today where there'll be 800 people, you know, at some of them. Spring of 1940 was a big deal. John Rockefeller, who was very strongly opposed to alcohol, the sale of alcohol, and he gave a dinner for his friends, and he invited AA members. Dino, can you please find the page? Thank you. All right, I have to make an amends now. I just said the prayer on page 66, 67. And so he saved me from being angry at Dino. All right. The Rockefeller dinner was a big deal. And Bill W. went and with Dr. Bob, and they had about six other guys, and they were determined, Bill was determined to get money from Rockefeller. They were gonna be something now. They were gonna have Rockefeller, they're gonna get a lot of money, they were gonna be successful. Rockefeller said, this is great, but money will ruin it. He was a brilliant guy. And he gave them $2,500 so Bill and Bob could pay their rent and their mortgage, so Dr. Bob could keep his house. And then that was it. He said, money will ruin this thing. And he was right. And so but he said this was really, it was really good. He was really in favor of it. That gave a lot of publicity. And so the membership in March of 41 went up to 2,000. And then the Saturday Evening Post article by Jack Alexander came in the end of 41. And Jack Alexander was like this expose. He was like Woodward and Bernstein. He was going to go to AA, and he thought this was a cult and a scam. And he was going to find out the truth, and he was going to expose it. And he wrote a really powerful support of the group, and I've actually read it. You can get it on the internet and read the article. It's very, very powerful. He understood completely what we were trying to do. And that really changed everything, because the Saturday Evening Post was really read by everyone. Got that magazine. It was a weekly magazine. So now they had 8,000 members. Think about it. They got 40 people sober, or 80 people, when they wrote the book. And then 2 years later, they got 8,000 people. And then it says, our society then entered a fearsome and exciting adolescent stage, and it faced this test. Could alcoholics successfully meet and work together? Well, I don't know if that's true or false. If you go to a lot of meetings, you see AA in all of its glory. Would there be quarrels? Of course not. Have anybody been quarrels over membership, leadership, and money? Have you ever been to an AA business meeting? That's very exciting. I'm not well enough, so I don't even go to our business meeting. Would there be strivings for power and prestige? Well, it's alcoholics. But, you know, considering those three questions, we've done really well, don't you think, guys? We've done really well. Why? Because we try to put God in charge of everything, right? And would there be schisms? And they said that AAs had to hang together or die separately, and unity of our fellowship where we'd pass away. And remember, they had the Washingtonians. They didn't have a program, but they had the pledge to stop drinking, and they had 100,000 members in 1870 or something. And then they got involved, or 1845, then they got involved in other issues, and then it kind of faded away. But they had about 100,000 members at one time, but they didn't have a program. As we discovered the principles by which the alcoholic can live, and that's what we're really trying to do, practice spiritual principles of living, how we can live connected to God, be loving, kind, patient, tolerant, considerate, and compassionate. How can we be service to others? They had to evolve principles for the groups. And it was thought that no alcoholic could be excluded from our society and that our leaders might serve but never govern. So ask, who do we serve? Well, we serve God first and then each other. And so that should always be our motives. Are we serving God and we're serving each other? Each group should be autonomous, no professional class of therapy, no fees or dues, our expenses met by voluntary contributions. There is to be the least possible organization. And I don't know if we're still doing that. We seem to have, I don't even understand it, but we have the district and then they have the big district and the little district and all these meetings and this and that. And I'm not saying that that's bad. But in the beginning, it was to be very, very loose organization, no real rules. Our public relations were to be based upon attraction rather than promotion. Now, Clarence Snyder, in the Cleveland Plain Dealer, he was the founder of AA Cleveland. He went on the paper and he said he was the father of AA. that kind of pissed Bill off and some of the others. But Clarence did a lot of good, but none of us speak for AA. And we have to remember that. Like if you're asked to talk at a church or you're asked to talk to another group, you don't speak for AA. You could just talk about yourself and your experience. And it's very important to remember that. And then here's the thing that's completely misunderstood. We should be anonymous at the level of press, radio, TV, and films, not to each other. And you know, at the meetings, they always said their last names. They knew who they were. They knew where everybody lived because they had to help each other. So. A lot of people are afraid to say their last names. Or I was at a meeting where somebody said somebody's name, and they said, well, I don't know if we're supposed to say his name because it was another meeting. We're not supposed to be anonymous to each other. We can't help each other if we don't know who we are and where we are and how we are. But we don't go on TV and say, I'm the head of AA. And this is, because why don't we want to do that? Because if it fails, then people blame us. And plus, none of us speak for AA. We're all trusted servants, right?
Yeah.
And in no circumstances should we give endorsements, make alliances, or enter public controversies. I've told this a lot, so I'll tell it again. You're going to hear it. They asked AA in Congress to come to Congress because they wanted to write a warning label on the on alcohol like they do for cigarettes. So they had a big thing and they wanted AA to come. So they were thinking what to put on there, and the AA guy got up to talk, and they said, well, what is AA's position on a warning label for alcohol? And they said, we think you should put, this bottle will run out. Now, we're all laughing, but they didn't understand it. But it's a warning. I thought that's funny. I like it. All right, so that's how we got the 12 traditions. And remember, in the Ford, the second edition is right after the traditions were actually accepted by the World Congress, and they're in the back of the book in the long form. I really suggest you read the traditions in the long form. They're very powerful. And I think when we finish working with others, I'm going to do something different on Sunday nights. I'm going to do Dr. Bob's story. I'm going to do the story on acceptance. I'm going to do Keys to the Kingdom, and I think we're going to read the traditions because I've never really done the stories before. I'm going to do a few of the stories on Sunday night. The traditions are very powerful. It says, though none of these principles had the force of rules or law. You hear a lot of things like, this is an AA approved. Have you heard that before? Well, I don't know what that means. You can read anything at the meeting. It has nothing to do with what can be read at the meeting or not. They put AA approved because they sell it, and it's the AA name. And they used to have the circle and the triangle, and that's what they put on all AA literature, but then they lost the copyright to that in 93, so they said AA approved. And so anything that can help us get closer to God can be read at any meeting. Bill W. wrote that like 1941. In fact, remember they read the Sermon on the Mount at the first AA meeting in Akron from the Bible. So they had the World Conference, and these traditions, I think, are the reason we're still together. It's really powerful stuff. And then on the next page, just to finish up, the AA, while the eternal difficulties of our adolescent period were being ironed out, public acceptance grew. You never hear anybody say anything bad about AA, do you, on TV or anything? You know why? Because we have no opinions. Sandy Beach says the reason nobody gets upset with us because we don't have any opinions. We don't take any stands. We're not that type of organization. So you see paparazzi pictures of everybody, you know, they're taking pictures. You never see them outside of an AA meeting, right? You never see them taking pictures of the celebrities. We're well-respected people. Trust us as a place where people can go and get help. And so we need to remember and keep that tradition alive. And, you know, people, when they come in, they don't want anybody to know they're in AA. Well, probably people are happy to know they're in AA. They've probably been waiting for them to go for a while. But the thing is, once you understand, if you tell somebody you're in AA, and I've seen patients, and they say, they respect you. They respect you. We have a disease. We're going to place, and we're trying to get ourselves help. I've never seen anybody chastised. I'm sure it happens, but it's something that you shouldn't really be afraid of. People respect us, and they respect the fact that you're trying to get your life together. And the reasons it was accepted, because there was a lot of people recovered in reunited homes. And we can see that tonight. We just heard it tonight. We heard powerful testimony tonight about that. Here they talk about 50% got sober at once, 25. I don't know how they got those numbers. The 50% remembers whatever the numerator and denominator are. Now, 50% of the people who they got to go to the meetings, but remember, they'd go through hundreds of people to get anybody who'd even want to go to one meeting. And remember, it was so hard. So of the people who come and really want to do it, the success rate's pretty high. And here's what they said, who stayed on showed improvement. Other thousands came to a few AA meetings and decided they didn't want it, but a lot of people come back. And we're going to read the preamble. It's very powerful stuff. The next paragraph talks about a lot of people have endorsed this, the medical societies and religious leaders. It says we're not a religious organization. We don't have any medical point of view. The next paragraph, we respect everybody. Everybody's welcome. We don't have any rules. Now, I want to tell you before the traditions, each state had their own requirements for going to the meetings. Each group had their long list of who could come and what had to be done. It was kind of crazy. And around 43 or 44, Bill said, we got to do something. We got to make it so that each group isn't setting up all these rules. So you can get on the internet and read them. It's very interesting. At present, our membership is pyramiding at a rate of 20% a year. They say that the AA rate is actually going down. I don't know if that's true. I've heard that. But we certainly have a lot more people who are addicted to alcohol and especially drugs now in the United States. It's a major health problem. They said that we've made just a scratch on the number of alcoholics. When you think about it, 10% of the population, they're probably what? 25 million alcoholics in the United States. That's a lot of people. I don't think we could hold them in this room. It's a lot of people in the world. It's a major problem. And then if you look at alcohol and drug addiction, I think they said it's 30, 40 million people in the United States are addicted to drugs and alcohol. We shall never be able to touch more than a fair fraction of the alcoholic problem and in all its ramifications. We have therapy, we have no monopoly. We say that all the time. But it's our great hope that those who have yet found no answer, if you haven't found an answer, you begin to find one in the pages of this book and presently join us on the road to new freedom. AA doesn't tell anybody to work the steps. They suggest that if your plan of life has not worked, and if your life is pretty crappy, and your plan hasn't worked, you try their plan. That's all they say. Do an experiment. We suggest you do this and tell us the result. And the people who've done it will tell you the result. We heard it tonight. And so that's all we say. If you've run out of options, do this. Now, why do people actually work the steps? Because they're desperate. They've tried everything else. People come here and don't work the steps. They get a little bit less desperate. They come in very desperate, and they get less desperate, and they're not ready to do the steps yet. Then sometimes you don't see them anymore. Because the desperation is the key. Staying connected to your first step, staying connected to your powerlessness is the key for every alcoholic. Now, I want to read this preamble. It's great. Then we'll open it up. It shouldn't take more than an hour on this.
Which page?
God, I'm funny. Carl asked me which page. Carl's funny, too. All right. Listen, there's only one funny person in the room tonight. AA preamble. 1940. We are gathered here, and I'll try to put this those last thing. You can get this on silkworth.net. I'll try to post it on the site. Have Patty. We are gathered here because we are faced with the fact that we are powerless over alcohol. This is read at every meeting, and unable to do anything about it without the help of a power greater than ourselves. We feel that each person's religious views, if any, are his own affair. The simple purpose of the program of AA is to show what may be done to enlist the aid of a power greater than ourselves, regardless of your conception of God. Whatever your conception be, it doesn't matter. You can enlist the aid of a power greater than yourself, and that's the purpose of the steps. The program here is not fellowship, it's the steps. In order to form a habit of depending upon, so we're developing a new way of living, depending upon and referring all we do to that power, we must at first apply ourselves with some diligence. They say, you know, are you willing to go to any length, right? Are you willing to, with complete abandon, turn yourself to God? By repeating these acts, you develop habits. They become habitual, and they become natural to us. And they're talking about the 6 and 7 step. Lenny mentioned step 10 and 11. This way of life, it becomes a habit that you can recognize when you're in your self-centeredness and you can connect back to God and get out of it. You can take your self-centered glasses off anytime and put your God-centered glasses on, and all your problems will go away. We have all come to know that as alcoholics, we are suffering from a serious illness for which medicine has no cure. Our condition may be the result of an allergy which makes us different from other people. It has never been, by any treatment with which we are familiar, permanently cured. The only relief we have to offer is absolute abstinence, the second meaning of AA. Absolute abstinence, AA, get it? I just got it. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is an honest desire to stop drinking. They took honest out, but that's in one of the preamble, and they took it out. Honest desire. Can you be honest with yourself? Remember, constitutionally capable of being honest with yourself. Each member squares his debt by helping others to recover. That's a great way of saying it. An AA is an alcoholic who, through application and adherence to the AA program, now they're talking about program here, the steps, has forsworn the use of any and all alcoholic beverage in any form. I hear a lot of people say they're in the program, but I think they're really saying they're in the fellowship. I don't see too many people leave the program. I see a lot of people leave the fellowship.
Yeah.
And we have to, and that's something that, it's everything. The moment he takes so much as a drop of beer, wine, spirits, or any alcoholic beverage, he automatically loses all status as a member of AA. How do you like that? AA is not interested in sobering, I love this, sobering up drunks who are not sincere in their desire to remain sober for all time. Dr. Bob used to say, are you willing to quit for once and for all? Can't be any, remember it says in the book, like, there can't be any reservation, no lurking notion that someday, somehow, we'll be able to drink again. Get rid of that idea. If you're keeping it, get rid of it. Not being reformers, we offer our experience only those who want it. You see the words here? It's very powerful. And for those who don't want it, we can't help them. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree, in which we can join in harmonious action. That's from page 17, the cement that binds us together. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our program. There it is again. In fact, in the original book, it was followed our directions. Those who do not recover are people who will not or simply cannot give themselves to the simple program. Now, you may like this program or you may not, but the fact remains it works. It is our only chance to recover. How's that? This is a vast amount of fun in the A Fellowship. But you can see they had a real seriousness about it all. And it's very clear in this preamble. Some people might be shocked at our seeming worldliness and levity, but just underneath there lies a deadly earnestness and a full realization that we must put first things first. And with each of us, the first thing is our alcoholic problem. And with our alcoholic problem, the first thing is God, right? Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that's where they got the first things first. God first in everything. To drink is to die. Faith must work 24 hours a day in and through us or we perish. So we have to be the fruit of our faith must be seen in our works. And if we don't have these works, then we don't have the relationship with God. We have the relationship with God, then it'll be seen in our actions. In order to set our tone for this meeting, I ask that we bow our heads in a few moments of silent prayer meditation. I wish to remind you that whatever said at this meeting expresses our own individual opinion as of today. And in fact, if you go to a lot of meetings, people will change their mind and they'll want to talk again because they hear something better than what they say and they want to change. I don't know. I've done it. I shouldn't admit all my character defects here, but oh yeah, that was good, so I would agree with him, so I'm going to say that. It's just the way we are, we're just funny. And as up to this moment, we do not speak for AA as a whole, and you're free to disagree or agree as you see fit. In fact, it is suggested, and I love this, and we don't see this enough, but a lot of people will say it, pay no attention to anything which might not be reconciled with what is in the big book. And that's where Joe and Charlie really, they got off on a 20-minute discourse on people say all sorts of things at the meetings. You hear all sorts of things. But is it in the big book? And it says if you don't have a big book, it's time you bought one. Read it, study it, live with it, loan it, scatter it, and then learn from it what it means to be an AA. Isn't this great stuff?
Yeah.
Yes. So we'll open. I'm sorry we went a little longer, but we can always stay a few extra minutes. And share on this. Thank you guys and congratulations again. Grady, good job, and Debbie, and was there any other birthdays?
Grady.
Grad. No,
Lenny.
Lenny.
Nope, just three of them.
Way to go. Thank you guys.